Greetings in Jesus' name. So I'd like to talk this morning about walking in the light. It's just maybe an old subject, and I feel like I'm preaching to the choir a little bit. You know, you've heard about it a lot, walking in the light, but it's just a blessing to think about again. So there's a verse in the Psalms that says, "The path of the just is as a shining light which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And the path of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble," I think is how the verse finishes. And Jesus said, I think it's in John 1, and I couldn't find this verse either, but it says how, "I am the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." We're all given some light when we're young, when we can see what's right and what's wrong easily when we're children. And either that light gets stronger and stronger, and we can see clearer and clearer if we're just, if we're righteous people and walking in that light. Or else our path, as we get older in life, gets darker and darker because we're not following the light. And we're going off walking in darkness, and our path gets darker and darker till we're deceived completely if we keep on going that way. It's nothing you can see. Your days will be just as bright, and the sun will shine just as bright on you each day, and you'll never know. We're not talking about the sunshine, but we're talking about truth, you know. And then that verse that we like too is a blessing: if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Just, but it starts with the word "if." Not everybody will walk in that light. So, turn to Joshua 3. Here they're thinking about crossing the Jordan River to get over into Canaan, the Israelites. And let's start reading with verse 11 of Joshua 3. This is the Lord speaking to Israel. "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the Lord, the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Okay, God gave a promise there that He would part this Jordan River so that they could go over into Canaan, so they wouldn't have to go across in boats or anything. But what caused the waters to go back? What caused the waters to just stop on the top side and flow away on the bottom so they could just walk over and just dried up so they could go across on dry land, not muddy, not mud. It was the priests stepped into the water. They had to step right in there with the ark. What if they would have walked up to the Jordan River and waited for God to fulfill His promise that He's going to part this Jordan River? What if they had stood and waited? What would have happened? Nothing, probably. But they had to step into the water with that ark. And the Ark of the Covenant was a sacred thing to the Israelites. I notice here how it says, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth, twice in that passage. It's a very sacred thing to them, and I don't know if they were worried about dropping it and slipping in the mud or not, but they went right ahead and stepped into that water with that ark. It would have been a terrible thing if they had dropped it, but to them, and it would have been, but they needed to just step into the water and just trust in the Lord to perform His word. The Lord says a lot of things to us that He will do for us. He'll wash our sins away. He'll cleanse us. He'll help us. He'll be our protector. But He won't do that if we don't obey His teachings. We'll just do what He's asked us to do. There's other miracles like this in the Old Testament too, where they needed water desperately. Remember that? And so the Lord said, the first time it was go and smite the rock. They didn't just walk up to the rock and wait for water to come, but they obeyed what the Lord said first. And if they passed that test, the Lord fulfilled His part. The next time they were supposed to just speak to it, and the water would come out. But He hit it. We know that story, but how He hit the rock instead of speaking to it. But we need to do what God asked us to do, and that's true faith. When it doesn't look like even that the Lord is doing what He said, the water is just a flowing down through there, and it's rushing and it's overflowing its banks because it's the time of harvest and there's a lot of water and a lot of rain. Just start walking into the water. But that's what they did. The Lord parted that water. And I like to use that illustration. It's just a blessing to help people to see that we just need to step out in faith and do what the Lord has asked us to do and leave Him to do His part. But first we need to do our part. There's another story I'd like to mention along with this. Remember how David preached a sermon a while ago on the faithless are one step behind, and how the people were afraid because of the 12 spies' report to go into the land of Canaan, because they said we just looked like grasshoppers compared to them. We're so little. And they were afraid to go in. So they said, we're not going to go. That's just too scary. So the Lord said, okay, you're going to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years till you die, and I'll raise up a new generation that'll go in. And then they were ready to go. They said, let's go. So the next day they went. They were defeated, and the Lord was fighting against them instead of fighting for them, because they were just one day behind. They should have went the previous day. They were one step behind. So that's the faithless compared to those that have faith. Just acting when God says go up, we go up. When He says turn the other cheek, we turn the other cheek, because that's what He's asked us to do. Or many things, but whatever we're facing, we each face a little different things in our lives, you know. But when the Lord says do it, we do it. But the faithless wait a day or so and think about it, and they're scared to really do it. They're afraid to whatever it is they face, they just think, I don't know. And they wait until they see how it's going to turn out before they do it, right? They wait till the clouds go away, or the daytime comes, anyway, till they can see instead of just stepping out in the dark. when God, if God says step out in the dark. Or step into the water, if God says step into the water. What if they'd been afraid of snakes or slipping and falling in that water? And just, I think I'm going to wait. There'd be a better time to cross Jordan. You know, once it dries up and later in the summer, then we could sure cross it a whole lot easier. There'd only be half this much water. Just think about it. What if they'd have done that? But, so, anyway, the Lord will do His part. He'll help you if you just do it right away. That's where the blessing is. Let's go to Luke 19 now and read that story of Zacchaeus. He's an example to us. Luke 19. Let's start reading verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And this is not just a parable, this is a true story. And it happened in Jericho, the same city as they passed over Jordan in the last story we read in Joshua. They passed over Jordan and they were right against Jericho. Okay, same city. Hundreds of years later, Jesus is there. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation. Come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. First thing Jesus did when he met Zacchaeus was tell him something he needs to do. Gave him a command. He didn't ask him how he's doing and try to build a relationship with him first, did he? Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Well, I was up here for a reason. I wanted to see you. Did he start arguing? No, Zacchaeus didn't. He came right down. He didn't start arguing with the Lord. I find that tendency is pretty easy to just start arguing with people. Anyway, he obeyed. He just came right. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And he started out, verse 8, saying what he's going to do. Lord, I'm going to do this and that and the other thing. Did Jesus scold him for saying, You can't do anything to please me. You're coming at it all wrong, Zacchaeus. Did the Lord say that? Did he say, your works have nothing to do with salvation? No, he said what he's going to do. He was a publican, I guess, a tax collector. And they were the publicans, the way they got their living was they were Jews, a lot of them, who kind of the other Jews looked at them as traitors because they had turned over to the Romans and were helping the Romans collect taxes off of the Jews. So the other Jews thought, oh, those terrible publicans, because they're helping the Romans collect taxes off of us. So the other Jews hated the publicans. And the Romans, I've heard that they didn't really pay these tax collectors. They just expected the tax collectors to get a little more taxes than they really should have collected and keep some in their own pockets and give the rest to the Romans. So, anyway, a lot of them were thieves and were just, they just pocketed a lot of money and got pretty rich off of the other Jews. So, the other people said, they murmured and said he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. So Zacchaeus was this kind of a man. If a man's taxes was $3, he may be charged $6. Just and deceptive like that and put a lot in his own pockets. But right away, he knows what's wrong with his life. And a lot of people know what's wrong with their lives. They know what they should be doing a lot of times. And so he said, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'm going to give him four times back as much as I took away from him. And Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. You want to be a son of faithful Abraham? Do what Abraham did. That was the praise of the Lord to him for saying, I'm going to get out and do something. I remember Jonathan's sermon a few years ago. Do something. Remember that sermon? Do something. And he went over, I think, the Sermon on the Mount. Just a lot of places where the Lord says, do this or that. It was a blessing. I'll just read one verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That ties in with this same thing here. Jesus expects us to get up and go through the river even though it's flowing pretty strong. Just whatever's in your way, just do it. Go for it. There's another verse that I really like in John 7 that I'm going to read. Let's start reading here. John 7 verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And 17 is the verse I really wanted. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast the devil, who goeth about to kill thee? Sounds a little like preaching on the streets, doesn't it? A little bit there. Jesus said, none of you keepeth the law. But verse 17, if you want to know the truth, you want to know what's really true, you really want to know, then do His will. Do the Lord's will. That's how you know. That's how you know what truth is. Just obey Jesus' teachings and give to Him that asketh thee instead of turning away. And go the second mile. Just do it. It's just so simple, I guess. But that's how we know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. We know the truth if we do His will. So, and the opposite is also true. If we don't walk in the light, well, things will get darker and darker, like it says in 1 John 2:8. A Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Again, talking about light and darkness. Walking in the light, loving your brother, you won't stumble because you'll see clearly. But if you hate your brother, you're walking in darkness. You don't know where you're going. You're just walking in darkness. So that's how the light comes, and that's how it stays with us, and that's how our path gets brighter and brighter and shineth more and more to the perfect day if we're just. But if we're wicked, our path will get darker and darker. And finally, God will send just a real great darkness. He'll send strong delusion to us if we know the truth but live in unrighteousness. We know what's right, but we don't do it. For a while, we'll still know what the real right thing is. We'll know what God's will is. But if day after day we keep on doing the other thing instead of doing what we know we should, it'll get darker. And after a while, we really will get confused as to what really is right and what's really wrong. So we see that happening on a national level, or the whole world. Things are just getting darker and darker. They kind of know what the truth is, or at least they used to, but they're getting so confused because they're not doing it that they're starting to think right is wrong and wrong is right. Just walking in darkness, going in circles, falling over, just they don't know. They're just walking in blindness, darkness. So that's what we need to be aware of, is deception that'll come to us. And maybe there's a reason that hell is called outer darkness in some places in the New Testament. We'll be cast into outer darkness if we don't follow the Lord. Outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dark, it's just really, really dark there, and there's no light. But heaven is, what do you think of when you think of heaven? Immediately you think of brightness and a lot of light, right? And God is the light. The Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus and His teachings. And we see that light. And He lighteth every one of us. Like I said at the beginning, when we're little children, we know the truth. As we grow, if we keep walking in it, we just see more and more light. And it comes from Jesus. Because He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And He's the light of eternity, of heaven. Jesus is the light. You want to know the light? Read His teachings and walk in them. Do the doctrine. So. That's about all I had for this morning. So let's pray. Our Father, we ask You'd help us to walk in this light, Lord. Walk in Your truth, and whatever is before each one of us, whatever we're facing, whatever hard things there might be, Lord, give us the faith to just step out into the water. Lord, we thank You that You're always faithful and that we can depend on You. We know, Lord, that we fail and that it's up to us, Lord, to walk in the light. We thank You, Lord, for the light You've given us. We thank You, Father, for making our path bright if we just will walk in it. Lord, help us to not just be put this light under a bushel, Lord, under a basket, but to let everyone see this light and not to be ashamed of You and Your teachings. Help us to be faithful till the end, Lord, till judgment day comes. Help us in these dark days, these last and evil days, just to be a city that's set on a hill so people can see the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.